Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of... You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Here's a question for you. Do you feel alive in your faith and expectant of what God might do? Are you more feeling stuck and you kind of long for a fresh wind to fill your sails? I'd actually like you to answer that. Are you coming alive or do you feel stuck? Would you tell me? Text me at 877-933-2484. Maybe it's time, if you're feeling stuck, maybe it's time to take on a challenge. I'm wondering if you're with me on this. New York Times bestselling author and pastor and great friend of our show, Mark Batterson, joins me today to talk about his study guide that accompanies the Devo that there's not one other devotional that Kevin and I have gone through more times than Draw the Circle, the 40-day prayer challenge. And he's inviting readers on a new 40-day challenge as a group. This is a study guide. It's amazing. We've got 6 copies to give away. Here's what he writes. I believe prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. It's the difference between letting things happen and making things happen. It's the difference between you fighting for God and God fighting for you. Over the next 40 days, we're going to pray like it all depends on God, and we're going to work like it all depends on us. And I believe that God is going to show up and show off His power, His grace, and His goodness. I want you to buckle up because you're about ready to be stirred up in faith. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson is lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., one church in multiple locations. NCC owns and operates Ebenezer's Coffee House. We're going to talk about that backstory. Absolutely amazing. And the D.C. Dream Center. He's a New York Times bestselling author of 22 books, including Do It for a Day, Win the Day, and Draw the Circle. He and his wife, Laura, live in Capitol Hill. They have 3 children. Pastor Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Susie. It's good to be back.
Looking forward to this conversation. And you know this, we start every day just making it personal. And I'm just wondering, just in your own time with the Lord, what's He been impressing upon your heart these days?
Oh, my daily Bible reading plan is a lifeline. And so, today it was just, I'm reminded of this story about, David taking 6 steps and then stopping with that Ark of the Covenant and worshiping God. What if we built an altar every 6 steps, Susie? What if every 6 steps we reminded ourselves of God's goodness and God's greatness? I think sometimes we think about worship as maybe singing in a congregational setting, which is amazing, but worship is all of life to the glory of God. And so I'm trying to worship every 6 steps these days.
I love that. That's your next book, Mark, and your spare time. That's your next book, Worshiping Every 6 Steps. I think there's something there, just saying. Well, you've been on before, and we've talked about prayer before, but for the sake of context, I want kind of an up-close and 30,000-foot view. Give us just the backstory of your prayer walk, and then from where you stand now, what God has done inside the boundaries of that prayer walk.
Yeah, short version, 1996, we're pastoring a core group of 19 people, church plant just getting off the ground here on Capitol Hill in D.C., and I'm reading Joshua 1:3. It says, I'll give you everywhere you set your foot, just as I promised Moses, and I feel this quickening in my spirit that we need to pray a perimeter around Capitol Hill, and so it turns into a 4.7-mile prayer walk, and for the record, I was praying for people, not for property, just praying that God's kingdom would come, God's will would be done. And a quarter century later, isn't it crazy? It's not coincidence, it's providence that we own 6 properties on that prayer circle and leveraging those for the glory of God. Just seeing God move in some wonderful ways here in the nation's capital. We both know that most of the news coming out of this city is political in nature, but there is an undercurrent of God moving and working, and it is the byproduct of prayer. And so that prayer circle inspired a book, The Circle Maker, another book, Draw the Circle, and just so many answers to prayer, Susie. It's just just so inspiring to me. And if it's okay, I'll just say this up front. Every prayer has to be in the will of God and for the glory of God. This isn't about us outlining our agenda to God. It's about getting into God's word, God's presence, getting his agenda, but then approaching the throne of grace with confidence that comes from the promises of God. And then it's game on.
Come on. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about Ebenezer's in just a little bit, but for the sake of just awe and wonder at what God has done, tell us a bit about of what these six properties are about.
Yeah. So one corner is a crack house that we turned into Ebenezer's Coffee House, and it's Coffee with the Cause. Wonderful. Business as mission is what I would call it here on Capitol Hill. We own the Miracle Theater. We own a couple of other spaces, one that's being used by a house of prayer right now. And then we have a city block that is our Capitol Hill campus. And we are in the process of building that out. And that's a space where, you know, thousands of people gather to worship, but then we're able to leverage it as really a marketplace during the week. And so we really want to be a 24/7, you know, the it's about Monday to Friday, not just about what happens on Sunday. And so God's given us a presence here kind of day in and day out. And then we've got a dream center in Ward 7 that is an underserved, under-resourced part of our city that we're loving on kids. That's how we feel like you change statistics. You love, disciple, care for kids, and with a relationship with God, that changes their trajectory. And so that's a thin slice of some of what those properties are.
I wonder, you know, once you develop an appetite for the impossible, once you, you know, get the sense of the mind of the Lord, and then you believe him for the impossible, and you take the steps he outlines, and then you look over your shoulder and you see what God has done, does that make you, I wouldn't say less immune to the naysayers, but does it take some of the power away from the critics?
It does, because you can't argue with testimony. Look at what the Lord has done. And so I feel like, Susie, the way you steward a miracle is you believe God for bigger and better miracles. And faith is really a function of faithfulness. It's our ability to look back, connect the dots between what God has done, those but God, or those look at what the Lord has done moments. And then it increases your faith. And almost like Nehemiah, who had a few naysayers telling him what he couldn't do. Listen, God can do in 52 days what they couldn't do in 142 years. And so it's about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then here's the key. Then we're in touch with a reality that's beyond what we can taste and touch and hear and see and smell. There's an old proverb that I love that says, those who hear not the music think the dancer is mad. And so there are some people that think we're crazy, that think we're out of touch with reality. No, we're in touch with a reality that is way beyond what you can perceive with your five senses. And so that is what then fuels our faith and our prayer.
Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen for that one. Why 40 days? What is it about 40 days that makes such a difference? I know it's a biblical number and a biblical journey, but I know you've got something to say about that.
Yeah, I think there is something significant. Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness. Moses spends 40 days on Mount Sinai. There's something about that time frame. Now, I will back up the bus a little bit and say that, you know, according to the science of habit formation, you know, it takes anywhere between, I think the range is 21 to 254 days to establish a new habit. And that depends on the habit. It depends on the person. But the goal of the 40-day challenge really is about what happens on day 41. I feel like if you can do something for 40 days, there's a good chance that you have built a new habit. And for the record, I think the prayer habit really is the key to making and breaking other habits. And so I feel like Draw the Circle, that 40-day prayer challenge, really lays the foundation for God to move in a way that is not just a quick fix, but really changes our trajectory, because it becomes a spiritual discipline that we begin to practice consistently.
Mm-hmm. And I really can't highlight the Draw the Circle Devo enough. I'm telling you, Kevin, I've gone through it 4 times, I think. It just is so inspiring. So what we're celebrating and releasing today is 6 copies of the accompanying study guide. So there's a bunch of quotes in the book from Draw the Circle. And then there's all these study questions and reflection questions that you can do alone for personal reflection or as a group. You can text the word book if you want to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We're going to pause here for a moment. I'll give you that number one more time, 877-933-2484. When we come back, I'm going to have Mark speak to that person. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I tried that prayer thing and it didn't work. I want you to talk about some of the biblical conditions for powerful biblical prayer. More with Mark Batterson in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. You are a promise keeper. Your word will never fail. This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Jesus, I won't be overwhelmed. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, New York Times bestselling author and pastor Mark Batterson. He's just one of our favorites. And you maybe are in a place where you feel stuck. And if you are, maybe the 40-day prayer challenge is just what you need. Sometimes you got to just up your game. Sometimes you got to engage on a deeper level to get that spiritual just oomph that you're looking for. We've got 6 copies of the accompanying study guide, Draw the Circle, Taking the 40-Day Prayer Challenge by Mark Batterson. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Mark says this, remember that prayer isn't about outlining our agenda to God. It's about getting into his presence and his word and discerning his agenda for you. Take time to listen. Listen to your life. Listen to family and friends. Listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't rush the listening phase of this process. And we'll return to that idea in just a sec, but I'd love for you to speak to the person listening today who feels like, I tried prayer, it didn't work, and so they sort of opted out.
Yeah. Well, Susie, I think all of us have been there and done that. And the reality is, as soon as I'm omniscient, I'll let you know, but I would not hold your breath that sometimes I don't know what to pray for. And my batting average is probably on par with everybody else. I feel like at the end of the day, though, that the question is to pray or not to pray. And I know this for sure. God won't answer 100% of the prayers that I don't pray. And that's not, we could get into the theology of that and talk about sovereignty and common grace and other threads and themes. But Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. There's a persistent widow that is celebrated in one of Jesus' stories. And so I just feel like God wants his children to approach him with confidence. And that's where, Susie, I would say there comes a moment where you have to pray a brave prayer. And sometimes a brave prayer isn't something that's just beyond your ability. It's something that you prayed for a long time, but you don't feel released from it. You have to keep praying, keep interceding. And you know this part of my story, and maybe it's something we can go into more detail about, but I had asthma for 40 years.
Severe
asthma. There were not 40 days in 40 years that I did not have to take that rescue inhaler. In fact, my earliest memory is a trip to, believe it or not, North Memorial Hospital, and shot of epinephrine to open my lungs back up. And that is my earliest memory. I can't remember beyond having asthma, but July 2nd, 2016, prayed a brave prayer. God healed my lungs. I've not touched an inhaler from that day to this day. Ran a marathon to celebrate it. And
rode a 100-mile bike ride, Mark. Come on.
Bike century right there in Minneapolis, with our friends Fathers for the Fatherless. And And so I just, when God does a miracle like that, it's just, you can't not believe. And so for me, it was really holding on for those 40 years. And Susie, I still don't understand the timing. And I will say this as well, that the day will come when we cross that space-time continuum and God explains in his sovereignty and his omniscience why some things happened and why other things didn't. But we will thank God for some of the prayers he did not answer as well. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I think we need to have a degree of humility coupled with that confidence. And at the end of the day, it comes back to that twofold litmus test. It has to be in the will of God and for the glory of God. But it's so important that we press in, pray through, and put it in God's almighty hands.
Come on. Amen. Amen. You know, I interviewed Lee Strobel. I've had him on a few times, but we talked about A Case for Miracles. I said, have you noted in all these documented, you know, absolute verified medical miracles, have you noticed any common denominator? And it was interesting. He said they all had a humble, holy expectancy. So they didn't get offended with God. And if they did, they worked it out so they could stay in a place of humble, holy expectancy. So we might see a suddenly moment, but what we don't see is all the cultivating of the soil in the days prior to that, in the years prior to that, going, I still believe I'll see the goodness of God. Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. And Susie, can I push the envelope a little bit there?
Mm-hmm.
That I really believe that we've got to praise God for partial miracles. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes we want the whole enchilada before we say thank you. I think part of the process, some miracles are a process. Some miracles happen in stages. There is no one size fits all. And I think of the miracle where Jesus healed the man who was blind and he restores his sight, but it's not 2020 yet. Like he said that people look like trees moving. And so there is a partial miracle. And that's the moment, Susie, where some of us get stuck. And instead of celebrating the progress, we actually are disappointed because it's not perfected yet. And then we end up regressing in our faith. But those are the moments where praise God for those partial miracles and then continue to believe him for the full miracle. And I feel like that's a word for someone that's listening, that you've got to thank God before it happens. You know, gratitude is thanking God after it happens. I think faith is sometimes thanking God before it happens, and we've got to exercise that muscle.
Amen. I need another amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. You know, Kevin and I are working our way through this book called Christ the Healer. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like 100 years old, but it's the most biblical case I've ever read for healing. And Kev's a little ahead of me because he's listened to the audio version. And he told me this morning that the author said, when there's this time in between, he said, the faith that you are forging, if you've had some progress, God has confirmed that he is indeed performing a miracle in your life, but there's a time in between. He said that faith is even more important than getting your ultimate relief, because the day is coming when you're going to find relief. But the faith after the fact is what will allow you to take new land and appropriate new things that Jesus won for us. And that was such a good picture for me, because the forging of the faith is really a priceless process. And it's not just about this particular prayer. I mean, you're always saying that, you know, that our prayers and our appeals before God are more than one, and they need to be specific and beyond that.
Yeah. And you have to, it's not about even just the miracle happening, Susie. It's about who we become in the process.
Amen.
And the same is true of dreams. You know, it's not just about accomplishing whatever that dream is. It's who you become in the process. And in a sense, the process is the goal.
So good. So I read that quote about listening and how we really do need to gear down so we can hear the voice of the Lord. I would love to know from your own story, if you can think of a time where you thought you wanted this from God, and then as you listened, he's like, actually, I want this for you, Mark. Tell us if something comes to mind in that regard.
Yeah, I think there are different moments in my life where you think that you heard from the Lord, but it may have been a different voice. My experience is we've pastored a church here in DC for 25 years, but some people know the backstory that we tried to plant a church at 22 that did not turn out so well, Susie. We mm-hmm. failed. We fell flat on our faces. But through that process, what we learned is that the cure for the fear of failure is not success. It's failure in small enough doses that you build up an immunity to it. And, and unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. And so there are seasons where you feel like you miss it. Now, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I want to throw this out there. I think sometimes the moments that we feel the furthest from God is actually when God is accomplishing the most in us. And you know, folks may say, well, give me an example. Okay. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is on the cross. His Father feels as far away as he ever has. He feels forsaken. And yet, Susie, that's the very moment that God is working his plan of redemption. That's where healing and forgiveness and deliverance for all time are being accomplished. So God is accomplishing more in that moment. And yet that's the moment where Jesus feels furthest from his heavenly Father. And so I hope that that's a word of encouragement. Those who maybe are going through a dark night of the soul in a season of suffering, in a season where God feels distant. Number one, you're not alone. All of us go through those kinds of seasons, but sometimes that is when God is accomplishing something in us and through us that maybe we aren't aware of just yet.
Boy, that's such an amazing word. We've got about a minute and a half to break. Just a question here. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord when you hit those kind of patches? So you're believing God. No doubt you're opposed by the enemy. When you feel like you've been kind of sucker punched by the enemy, what's your first default response?
Yeah, interesting. I had one of those moments 6 months ago, and I'll keep it short and sweet, but the check engine light came on. I woke up, and I remember my journal entry. I said, I feel spent. I'm out of gas, running on fumes. My head is foggy. My heart is irritated. Lord, help me. And Susie, I did three things. One, I got counseling. I've never met anybody who doesn't need some counseling for something. Amen. At some point. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us need more than others. Two, I doubled down on my gratitude journal because I had to shift my focus and really pay more attention to the things that I was grateful for. And then crazy enough, I changed my story. If you want to change your life, you have to change your story. In psychology, it's called cognitive reappraisal. You have to tell yourself a different story. I was making it harder than it had to be. I was feeding a negative narrative, like, woe is me. This is so hard. You know what? I don't have to do this. I get to do this. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it has to do with reframing that, you know, 9 times out of 10, God isn't going to change our circumstances. He's going to change us. And that's what he's after. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that he can't change the circumstances too, but his primary objective is changing us.
Maybe that's a word for you today, changing the story, opening up your gratitude journal. God is always good and always up to something good. More with Mark Batterson in just a moment. This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. He moved in power then. He moves in power now. He healed people back then. He heals people today. Susie Larson here talking to our friend Mark Batterson, New York Times bestselling author and pastor and friend of Faith Radio. We are drawing from his book, Draw the Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge, and he just released a study guide. You could do this as groups, but you could actually do this in personal reflection. The study guide's full of quotes from Draw the Circle and all kinds of reflection questions and ways to look up scripture and meditate and answer some questions. We've got 6 copies to give away. If you need a jump start in your prayer life, text the word book to 877-933-2484. 2484. And I'm going to read this excerpt and love to have you just unpack what it means to circle promises. You said, what promise are you circling? What miracle are you believing God for? Whatever it is that you're circling, you need to make sure it's bigger than you are. That's how God gets the glory. He does things that are beyond our ability and beyond our resources, so we can't take credit for it. Two things about God that I know to be true are that God is bigger than big and closer than close. And those two realities shape our prayer life. So what do you mean by circling the promises for those who maybe didn't catch your first book?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a story that exemplifies it with the Israelites coming into the promised land and circling Jericho for 7 days. And, you know, we have to be careful, Susie. This is not abracadabra. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a circle. It can be a trapezoid. It doesn't matter what geometric shape it is. The idea is I'm going to pray and I'm going to keep praying until I sense this breakthrough in the spiritual realm. And by that, I might point to Daniel, who prayed for 21 days. And then there was this breakthrough that happens. But I love what the angel says to Daniel. The Lord heard you day one. And so it's this idea of praying through. And I think sometimes we pray ASAP, as soon as possible prayers. I like praying ALAT, as long as it takes. And so circling something in prayer is just something that you're going to pray it and keep praying it. And so one example would be Luke 2:52. I pray it for my kids all the time. May you grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. It's a prayer I've prayed thousands of times. And so you could say that it's one of those promises that I circle for my kids.
You know, when you're talking, I'm thinking of Mark going to the, the health club, doing one bicep curl on one arm and then going over and do one leg lift on the other leg and then do one squat over by the mirror and then hop on the bike and do a couple rotations and you hop off and you wonder why you're not getting in shape. But there's something to be said about persistence and strategic, working out, so to speak. And one of my cycle instructors, she used to always say, out there, they're working out. In here, we're training. We've got a goal and we're going to focus. And I feel like that's the same principle with prayer. Sometimes we skim our prayers, a little of this, a little of that, and not even always so specific. But when we get a word from God where he's saying, I actually want to fulfill this in your life, and then you get the seed planted in the soil and you start to believe it, I mean, something does change in you as well as around you. Maybe unpack, because you even talk about the power of the seed in the soil.
Well, now you have me wanting to go to the gym and not just work out, but train.
Yes.
There is a certain intentionality there that is really required, be it Bible study with a strategy or prayer. We probably should mention that there are different kinds of prayer. There's listening prayer, which is really focused on discerning that still small voice of the Spirit. It's less talking, more listening. I think there is contending prayer, where we're on our knees interceding for someone and doing it with a consistency. I think there's centering prayer, where, it's so easy to get distracted, to get frustrated. Centering prayer kind of brings us back to basics, so to speak. So there are lots of different ways to pray, but I would say that the important thing is practicing it day in and day out. You don't go to the gym and then expect to be in great shape the next day. It's going to take a few more training sessions than that. And so with prayer, I think it's about this ongoing conversation where literally every day it's to be continued. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord. And then it's, good morning, Holy Spirit. And we're up and at it again. And allowing God to speak to us through his word, I think, is really important as well. The Bible wasn't just meant to be read. It was meant to be prayed through. And that turns it into a dialogue. And so hopefully there's something in there that encourages folks and gives them some different handles to hold on to. And the last thing I would say is that we do pray, Susie, through different personalities. We pray through different histories. We pray through different gifts and different passions. And so Oswald Chambers said, let God be as original with others as he was with you. And I remind myself of that all the time, that my prayer life is going to look a little bit different than yours. Yours is going to look a little bit different than mine. And that's because each one of us has a unique relationship with the Lord.
Boy, that's so good. You know, of all the things that you've prayed for and seen come to fruition, is there one that you return to? Maybe it's your healing, because the asthma, I mean, I don't think folks know how serious that was, but I mean, that's a radical, miraculous healing. And I love that you tested it after, but is there one that you look back over your shoulder and go, I still almost can't believe that happened? And is there one that you return to like that?
Well, since we detailed the healing miracle, I might double back to that prayer circle. I mean, owning a city block a mile from the Capitol is just would have never crossed my mind. Didn't seem possible. An investment firm offered cash for that property, and we get the contract. And by the way, we get it 18 years to the day from the day that I prayed a circle around it. And so when I walk into that 100,000 square foot building, I realize I'm walking into a prayer. I'm walking into a miracle. And so it's kind of a daily reminder of, look at what the Lord has done. And I want to be careful, because to me, it's not just the big things. It's those moments where you pray for someone and then there's a divine appointment or there's a little breakthrough. I think one thing I would advocate for, Susie, is a prayer journal. I think it's the way that you put 2 Corinthians 10:5 into practice, that you take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. If you don't remember what you prayed for, it's going to be really hard to thank God when he answers that prayer. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. So I think it's about documenting what we're believing God for, and then humbly continuing to pray. And sometimes it's years later. Sometimes I'll go back through a journal and, oh, I forgot that I was even praying for this. And then the Lord does it. And then we're able to connect the dots and give him thanks.
You know, I've told you off the air that I'm walking through a healing miracle that I've prayed and believed a long time for. And, you know, and I'm in that person that you're describing in process, but already what God has done is miraculous. But I have a journal that I'm just documenting each thing that just verifies that something supernatural has happened within me. And when I go back and read, and they're all like God winks, that, you know, and I started to think about the scripture that says, you know, see, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you perceive it? Which means you could miss it. You know, when God's doing some of these new things and they come up like sprouts, as you say, well, I didn't get this, or this isn't happening yet, but this is proof of new life. This is proof that God is doing something new. So writing it down, I've been going back over the bulleted list of this, and it just strengthens my faith. So you've been an advocate for years of writing things down, and boy, it is a powerful, it's kind of an Ebenezer in itself, isn't it?
It is. And that's how you leave a trail. That's how you mark your trail. And that's critical, because what God does for us is not just for us. So Susie, right now, God is working a testimony in you and through you. Mm-hmm. And as you share that testimony, in a sense, what you're doing is you're loaning your faith to me. And I'm borrowing your faith. And then I feel like the way I pay you back is then I pay it forward by loaning my Amen. Faith to someone else. And so I think one of the tricks of the enemy is that we've stopped sharing testimonies. And usually it's because one person goes TMI, too much information. and then we end up, we're not going to do that anymore. But the last time I checked, Revelation 12 says we overcome by the word of our testimony. And what happens is this: if God did it for you, he can do it for me. If God did it before, he can do it again. And so critical that we learn to capture those testimonies. And then that feeds and fuels our faith.
Amen. Let's talk about persistence for a minute. This dear listener says, do you keep asking the same thing over and over? And you've made this distinction in other books, and I think even in this Devo, but the difference between getting the mind of the Lord and persisting because you got a word from God out of the word of God versus maybe our will and we're pounding and pounding but we don't have a peace in it. Maybe make that distinction. And what does perseverance and persistence look like?
Yeah, that is a tricky one, because it really does take discernment. Is this the will of the Lord? And I would say that if God hasn't released you from praying for something, that then you just keep on keeping on. I bet there are a lot of people listening to our conversation right now who have been praying for a prodigal and asking that God would woo them back and bring them back to the Father. Well, that's one of those prayers that you just persist in and you keep praying because you know that's the will of God. In my case, that healing was something that I never felt released from. I never felt like God said, this is a thorn that you're going to keep. I felt like God spoke to me at 13 years of age that at some point he would heal me. And so I held on to that for an awfully long time and kept believing him for it. And then there are moments where God will release you. That church plant that we tried to do in Chicago, there was a moment where God released us and we were like, okay, then we're going to lay this down.
Right?
There is. Yeah. And it's kind of this, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That rule from Colossians where you discern that this is the right thing. So no easy answers here, Susie, but persistence is going to be a key piece of the puzzle.
Well, when you are praying God's will, I love that. You know, it's always his will to pray for the prodigal, right? When you're praying his will and you're leaning in and keeping your heart right before him and continuing to feast on the word of God, you really are changed in the process. Something's happening in the atmosphere and, you know, God is moving in ways we can't see, but he's also moving in us in ways that we need. And I mean, I feel like it's been a long journey, but I am better for the fight. I know God better. I know the wiles of my enemy better. And I know God's word better than I would have if I would have gotten instant relief, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And there's joy in that journey.
Amen. Well, as we go to break, I got to read this next excerpt from the book. I believe in providence, Mark says. I believe there's a God in heaven who directs our steps, who prepares good works in advance, who causes all things to work together for the good, who fights our battles for us. And if you pray through, there will be a breakthrough. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith and don't lose patience. When we come back, Mark, talk about shameless audacity and draw the circle, Devo. You talk about that. What does that look like? Shamelessly, audaciously praying. Love it. Talking to Mark Batterson. We'll be back in a minute. With all the bad news out there, it's good to remember the good news, to get some encouragement every single day. Well, if you need a word of encouragement, we would love to connect with you on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're even on YouTube. You know, we're creating encouraging posts every single day to help you focus on what really matters, to lift your chin, to help you remember that you belong to God and he loves you and he's committed to you. You'll find graphics, you'll find featured Bible verses, quotes from hosts and from our shows, articles about the topics you're interested in, as well as videos from all of our hosts. You can search Faith Radio on social media and find us today. We'd love to connect with you. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to best-selling author and pastor Mark Batterson. We're drawing from his book, A Devo, Draw the Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge. And I said at the open of the show, Kevin and I have gone through this Devo, I think four times, maybe even five. It's just been one of our favorites. It boosts our faith, and it just kicks us into gear to believe God for the things he has promised. Well, today we're celebrating the Companion Study Guide. And you want that Devo because it's just so fantastic. But you literally could go through the study guide. There are videos that accompany it, but you read the passage of scripture, you reflect, and you answer the questions, and then there are quotes from the book. So we've got six copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So you talk about shameless audacity in your Draw the Circle Devo. Talk more about what that looks like.
Yeah, I think bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. When we ask for things, Susie, that are beyond our ability, beyond our education, beyond our expertise, I think it puts a smile on God's face because it's exercising our faith. And then when God does it, we can't take credit for it. So I think that's how God gets the glory when we pray these bold prayers. I love this moment where Joshua asked the sun to stand still. Like who prays a prayer like that? Well, here's my hunch. He had been at the Red Sea and he was there that moment where Red Sea, Egyptian army, there's no way out. It is fight or flight. And the next thing you know, God makes a sidewalk through the sea. And when you've experienced that kind of miracle, then it gives you the boldness. And so I think it's about taking baby steps. You know, we exercise our faith and God does something. And then again, the way we steward that miracle is by believing him for even bigger and better miracles. And God gets more and more glory. So it's this I guess, a virtuous cycle of prayer that continues to evolve and grow and stretch us.
Amen. One of your quotes from the study guide is, faith is taking the first step before God reveals the second step. And you took a step one day at an auction where you bought, you put a bid on a zoning. I mean, I'm going to think of the things I buy at auctions, you know, like pampering lotion for my feet and stuff. So buying a zoning regulation book is such a guy thing to do. But anyway, talk about what you did there and how that was a first faith step.
Yeah, that's when we were circling this crack house in prayer, believing that it would become a coffee house, but it sits on the corner of historic Capitol Hill. So the zoning regulations are unbelievable. I mean, the architect of the Capitol has to sign off on it. And so I knew that we would need to know the architectural zoning codes inside and out, Susie. And it's kind of funny that was up for auction. Let's just say no one else bid on it. And if we had not eventually purchased the property, it would have been $80 down the drain. But my point is sometimes you gotta, that sometimes faith is measured in money. You gotta put $50 into it. You gotta put $80 into it. You gotta put $400 into it. You have to take some kind of step of faith. And if you take that first step, then oftentimes it can turn into a giant leap. And so you don't need to do something big. If we do little things like they're big things, God will do big things like they're little things.
Come on. And Ebenezer's now, for those of you who don't know, this coffee house, this coffee with a mission, business with a mission. I think you've served over 1 million people, maybe more now since then, and given more than 1 million to kingdom causes. Just say a word about that and give us a picture of what the feel is. Because, I mean, there's times where when I've done interviews with you, you'd been up on the roof, I think, of the coffee house by getting that right writing. And, I mean, give us a feel for what that place is like.
Well, just to put it in context, we're kitty corner to the Security and Exchange Commission, which is the largest office building in DC. We're one block from Union Station and we're four blocks from the Supreme Court. And so we are literally right here in the heart of Capitol Hill. Hmm. And we've got, I mean, it's location, location, location. But I would also say this, that you know, you have to compete with every other coffee house in the city. If you can't, right, you know, you need to get out of business. So you gotta pull a good shot of espresso and turn it into a wonderful latte. But then I would say that the coffee doesn't just taste good. It feels good because we are giving all of those profits away. I'll say one last thing. The Holy Spirit plus caffeine equals awesome. And so having an office right above Ebenezer's Coffee House is pretty fun.
I think you need a bumper sticker or something with that on it. That's fantastic. let's talk about surrender and engagement, because there are times, I mean, when the greatest faith step you can do, like what you did in Chicago, is to open your hands and surrender, and there's a release. For some, that's an easier posture, but engagement is harder. You know, I'm a doer, so engagement, you know, tell me what to do, I'm going to do it, and I'll engage, and I'll stand in faith or whatever. So letting go, it takes a little more faith for me. But there's others who may be more comfortable with, oh, it'll all work out, and I'm just giving it all to God. But God is saying, this is a day to fight. This is a day to gear up. This is why we've got the armor. So how does a person discern when it's time to surrender, when it's time to take their stand?
Wow. That's a great question. I mean, that's going to take a really intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, I think, that knowing in your spirit the way that he is leading and prompting. Again, not any easy answers there. I might just put on my pastoral hat and say that there are a few factors that come into play. One is personality, Susie, that we need to know everything from, you know, letters on Myers-Briggs to number on Enneagram to DISC profile, the Strengths Finder. You need to know your default settings. You know, are you a thinker or a feeler, introvert, extrovert? And then I would say, don't use your personality as an excuse. Don't use it as a crutch. And so you need to know whether you're wired to take risks or to play it safe. And so part of it, it's hard to answer because so much of it depends on our own unique personality. You know, some of us are pretty quick to give up and we need to be challenged to hang on. And so, you know, as you said, it really, I'll say one last thing that discerning the will of God is really twofold. It's calling to and releasing from. And this originates with Peter Marshall, former chaplain of the Senate, long, long time ago. He said, you have to be called to and released from. And there are moments in life where you feel released from something, but you're not sure what you're called to. And you're kind of in this no man's land. It's sort of, an ellipsis. It's a parenthesis in life. And those are awkward moments, but those are also sweet moments where God can redirect us. And the opposite is true. Sometimes we feel called to, but we don't feel released from. And I would challenge you not to make that move until you are released from. And so, you know, it takes sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And I would also say there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And yeah. I'm so grateful. I've got a spiritual father who's 80 years old, who has been there and done that, Dick Foth. I think you need people in your life who can speak wisdom. And somewhere in the mix, I think you'll find that sense of direction between surrendering and engaging.
Oh, that's so good. You know, the thoughts that I had when I've thought about this, two things. There's a proverb in the Proverbs, in so many words, it says wisdom's path is peace. You know, that the peace of God, as you say, rules and reigns, that to pay attention to the peace. But I also notice, like, if the only reason I want to leave is for relief, then faith would probably require me to stay. And if the only reason I want to stay is for safety, then faith might require me to leave. So I feel like I look at the peace and I look, what is faith engagement look like? That helps me anyway. But, yeah, so good. Talk, if you would, about, we just got a couple minutes left here, but you talk a lot about praying specific prayers. And I think that for some, that may be really exciting. Others, that may be a little scary because you maybe feel like you're setting yourself up for disappointment. But God is meticulous and he's very able to answer a specific prayer. So unpack that a bit.
Yeah, and I might widen the aperture a little bit and say when it comes to most spiritual disciplines, specificity is often a measure of faith. And so let me use confession as an example. You know, there are people who would say, Lord, forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. Amen. And that's the extent of their confession. Mm-hmm. And I think God can do that, Susie, but you haven't really reverse engineered it. You haven't really worked through. And sometimes it's a rather empty apology. I went through a process a few months ago where there was some unforgiveness. There was some bitterness. There were some offenses that I had taken, Susie. And I had to specifically identify the when, the where, the who, then and only then could I experience the forgiveness or the freedom by very specifically identifying and forgiving those things. And so I would say the same thing about prayer. I think some of our prayers are so vague that you're never really going to know whether God answered them or not. Same goes for goal setting. Like you have to have a specificity. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. And so all of those things require a degree of specificity.
Wow. Mark, I know you are a busy guy and you got a full plate. That you would give us time today means the world to me, and always such rich conversations. Thank you. Thank you, my dear brother, for the time today.
Always a joy, Susie. God bless. Yeah.
So good. I want to read one quick quote here before we go. He says, we often want God to do things at the speed of light, but in God's kingdom, things happen at the speed of a seed planted in the ground that has to take root before it can bear fruit. We need more patience and persistence, and that byproduct is a time that is a byproduct of time and experience. Wow, I hope you found some encouragement here today. I sure did, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.